Pam, Peter. Near the back of the Bible, I've got several favorite chapters in the Bible. This is one of them. Peter was a special disciple. He was one that was quick to speak up many times. He got his foot in his mouth. But nevertheless, he was one that the Lord loved very much. He wrote two epistles, so it's 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And we're going to look at some in 2 Peter that I feel like is very, very important. Peter had a life of hard knocks, in a way. Didn't come easy to him. He was a fisherman. When the Lord came by and said, "Follow me," something happened to that man. Jesus did not explain to him what he was going to do. He just said, "Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." And Peter got up and walked with him. Same thing with James and John. They did it too. And they just left everything to walk with the Lord. Now, if you really want to know the blessings of the Lord, the same thing will happen for us. When you get to the place, you're ready to just leave it all for something better. Now, there's not many Christians that understand a walk with the Lord as something better. They just see it as a kind of a religious thing that they do. But it's what it is. It's a life. It's a life. And it's a life that's more better than anything that you can think of. But it's a life that you cannot experience without walking away from everything else. Walk away from the old life to move into the life with Him that He has for you. And most Christians are looking for a day when Jesus returns as a man, and they talk about the rapture. But what they don't realize is that the Lord is spirit, and spiritually He is coming forth in us now. He can't do that as a man. As a man, He cannot come into your life. But as spirit, He can come into your life and change you so that you can experience His life. There's some things here. We're going to look at the first chapter in 2 Peter. Begin with verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. As you know, the New Testament was originally written in Greek, and so there were those doctors that understood the Greek language, and they translated it from the Greek to the English, and so that we have it. But the problem was that most of those men, those doctors and highly educated folks that translated the Greek and the English, most of them were not Christians at all, and even the ones that did not have much revelation. So consequently, sometimes, and they had no problem with changing things. So it makes no difference what Bible you got. There's going to be problems. And so you're going to need some understanding, some revelation, some discernment to understand. Also, there's some words that to us in our everyday English mean something just a little bit different. Now, right at the beginning of this verse says, Simon Peter, a servant. But that's not what the Greek says. The Greek says, Simon Peter, a slave. Now, the word slave doesn't sound good to us in this day, because we think about the time when members, slaves, particularly the black folks, but there's been other. Slavery goes back since from the beginning of time, really. You think of a slave as a person that's in a bad situation he can't get out of, and the masters over him are usually rather cruel. But what this means here, Simon Peter, a slave, a servant, if he's not satisfied, he can stop being a servant to one and decide, I'll be a servant to somebody else. He can just switch. But a slave cannot do that. And so what this means is that we decide we're going to belong to the Lord. And we're going to have no intentions of changing that and to find another Lord. He's going to be the only one, the only Lord over us. In that sense, we are his slave. We're given to him that he can work his will in us, through us. Once you begin to know the Lord, you realize, ain't got nothing but good for you. As you are, we're not much for human beings as we are. Think about it. Just look at what's going on in the world today. Unreal. Just plain unreal. Simon Peter, a servant, really a slave, giving myself to you. He's also an apostle of Jesus Christ. An apostle, that word apostle means one that is sent. He has given himself to the Lord. The Lord has come forth in his life, and the Lord sends him. So, an apostle is one that is sent. All right, verse 2, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, in this particular verse, it's another example of where the original translators were a little slack on their interpretation, where it says, through the knowledge of God, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Well, the Greek reads just slightly different, but it has a whole different meaning. The Greek reads through the full knowledge. That's through the full knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You say, well, why does it say full knowledge? The reason, because you got so many Christians running around here in this day that's got a little bit of knowledge and they feel like they got it all. And so the Holy Spirit purposely puts here full knowledge. We're to have the full knowledge, not just a little bit. Whatever knowledge of the Lord that you have now, you just got a smattering, just a little bit. There's a whole lot more to know. And so we got to press on. It makes no difference what you think about your salvation or any aspect of salvation, your knowledge, your revelation, any of those things, you have it in a measure. If you can remember this, your salvation is always expandable. Always expandable. You say, well, I got saved, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'm there. Well, you just took one step. There's a whole lot further to go. It's a journey of changing and becoming. And it's always expandable, and there's no stopping place. If you could come into the fullness of what the Lord is, you know what he would do? He would expand and become greater, and you got further to go yet. There is no stopping place. There isn't. What that means is we're to always be growing and changing. We're becoming. That's what he's talking about. Grace and peace be what? Be multiplied. Be multiplied and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. Whatever you have of the Lord at this time is to be multiplied. Now what happens if you don't go through the process of this multiplication and change and become more than what you are now? Is what Catherine was bringing out in her word this morning. If you stop changing, death enters in.
Dead Sea.
That's a good example. All right. Verse 3. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Well, I say, if He has given it, why don't I have it? He gives it. Remember Jesus said in the Gospel of John, I've got many things to say to you, but you're not able to bear them yet. He gives you all that you can receive where you are. Now, when you grow and you change and your ability to receive becomes greater, then He starts revealing some more. So it's not instantly you just get it all, but it's step by step, a little by little, here a little, there a little. You're moving into more and more of the Lord. Now, He has all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And again, it's through the full knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. I think that's a concept that we have sorely missed. To think that you had an experience and you got it all, it just isn't true. There's always more. And yet we become a Baptist and you become all that the Baptists have, and you say, well, I've arrived, I've made it. They have a ceiling over what you can become and what you can experience. If you go beyond that, then you're not a Baptist anymore. And the same thing can be said for any other denomination. Pentecostal Holiness, same thing. They have certain things that they believe in. This is what you can do. This is what you can believe. This is what you can become. All right, well, when you become that, what's next? I got saved in an Assembly of God church. It's a Pentecostal, too. I was so ignorant. I had never read the scriptures at all. I knew absolutely nothing. And I was so ignorant. And whatever they said, I believed it and accepted it as true. But as I began studying for myself, I found out many of the things that I was told were not true at all. They weren't even scriptural. But I moved very quickly within the Assemblies of God. The hunger that I had, the desire for more, and I reached a point where I had gotten all they had to give, but I wasn't satisfied. There had got to be more. And I found out there was more. When I found out there was more, I said, bye. I'm going for the more. I refuse to be limited on what I can become in the Lord and what I can receive. I want this full knowledge. I'm not interested in knowing just a little bit, but the full knowledge of the Lord, to understand Him. It's like in the Psalms, says a scripture. If you don't know where it is, you can look it up later in your Strong's Concordance. But it says, Israel saw the acts of God, but no Moses knew His ways. So you see, it's one thing to see the things that God has done, but it's a little bit more to know how He did them and to be a part of the doing. And that's the way it was with Moses. The children of Israel, they saw the things that God did. Moses was involved in it. He knew the things that God did. And God worked through him. And that's what we want to do. We want to come to the place we don't just see some things that He's done, but we want to be a part of it. We want Him to do those things in us and through us. And if we could understand, that's the way the Lord works. Too many Christians say, one day, He's coming back and He's going to get everything straightened out. Well, it's not going to happen that way. He's going to come forth in a people, and through those people, He's going to accomplish. Read the book of Acts, chapters 2 and 3 of Acts and further on down. And he on the day of Pentecost, they received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came forth then, and then what happened? They all went out and started doing it. The Holy Spirit walked through them. So this idea that God's going to come on the scene sometime, and he's going to solve all the problems, he's going to destroy the wicked and bless the good people and all that stuff, it's baloney. That's not what's going to happen. He's going to have a people that love him so much that he's going to come forth in their life and then move through them. We can be that kind of people. It'll cost you something, though. But we've got those little books in the office there, Disciples and Discipleship. If you hadn't read them, you ought to read them. There's a big difference in being a Christian and being a disciple. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now, what are you given all these exceeding great and precious promises for? For by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Do you grab a hold of what that means? He says, in these scriptures, there's all kind of great and precious promises, exceedingly great promises. What are they for? So that you can be partakers. You know what the word partake means? That you can partake of the divine nature. That you can become as he is. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. All right, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. That's important. What is Peter saying? Peter is saying all these exceedingly great and precious promises that are in the Bible are given so that you can partake of his divine nature, that you can become as he is. Now, I was just telling about the time that I became a Christian. I tell you what, I was so excited about what God was doing in my life. Didn't know hardly anything. I was so dull. But I was hungry. I went to every revival, every church service that I could find. I didn't care what kind of church it was. I wanted to learn. And if it did not interfere with my regular church services, I went. I got involved. I learned a lot. I learned a lot of what was right, a lot of what was wrong. But I was hungry. Without that hunger, you're just not going to get very much. But in all those churches that I visited and went to, I never heard anybody talking about us being able to partake of his divine nature. Then you say, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're saved. Well, I'd done that and I knew I wasn't very saved. I still had problems, you see. But there's a lot more to be had. You can experience a new life. It doesn't mean it's going to happen overnight, but little by little, as you hunger, as you grow, step by step, we're on a journey. And you can change. And if you don't change, it's nobody's fault but your own. Because he's given you all these exceedingly great and precious promises that you might be partakers of his divine nature. They're there for anybody that wants it. Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, that means love. You see what he's talking about here in verses 5 through 7? You keep adding. See the steps in here. You add this. Move in to the virtue of faith. And then you want to add to that. And you're going to add to that. And you're going to add to that. Step by step, we're changing. Step by step, we're moving into more of the Lord. That's the way it works. Then verse 8 says, "For if these things be in you, and abound," I mean, exploding, growing, changing, increasing. Verse 2, he uses the word multiply. If they're multiplying, you see. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." To be barren means to be unfruitful. So what does it mean? What kind of fruit are you supposed to bear anyway? When the scriptures talk about being fruitful, he is talking about receiving of him what he is. Those are the virtues that the scriptures talks about. And verse 9 says, "But he that lacks these things is blind, cannot see far off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." So all these things that he lists from verse 5 on to 8, these are things that you can receive, that you can experience. And these are all things that are, when you partake of his nature, you receive those things, okay? But if you lack these things, there's a blindness. Cannot see afar off. What does that mean, you can't see afar off? Well, he was talking about receiving the full knowledge of the Lord. Then he talks about the great and precious promises. You've got to know what those great and precious promises are, or you're not going to be able to receive them. How are you going to receive something you don't know anything about? Which means you got to study the Word, you got to understand, you got to believe. This thing of seeing afar off, that's perception. To be able to see the things ahead of you that are of the Lord that you have not experienced yet. That's what it means to see the things that are far off. We don't want to be ignorant of the things that God has available for us. And that's what this whole chapter is talking about. "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things." And you have to admit, you don't know what all those things are. You know a few of those things, whichever ones that you've experienced, that you see and you've obtained. What about the all things that you haven't? Well, you need to be able to see afar off. It's perception. "Lord, reveal the things to me that you have that I have not experienced as yet, that I might know you and walk with you, that I might become as you are." What in verse 10? "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." Now what does that mean? Give diligence.
Fight for it.
Right. And what are the things you're going to fight? The things in you. And I'm telling you right now, your greatest enemy lives in you. Your old way of thinking. Your flesh nature. Once you start trying to walk in the Lord and to grow and to become as he is, you're going to find that your greatest enemy are the things that are in you. You ever had that feeling, I know I should go to church, but I just don't feel like it? Maybe one day, that's one of the enemies. Anything that dampens your desire for God, anything that hinders the hunger that you should have, that is an enemy. That is the thing you need to take the sword of the Spirit and chop it to pieces. And these are the things that's going to be the most difficult things to overcome, the ones that are in you. Verse 10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fail." Diligently. And verse 11, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ."